Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Just before we get going, I will put it to you that we are actually the Andy Goode of rugby podcasts.
I'm the Sir Charlie.
No, here's why we're the Andy Goode of podcasts. We might not look good, but we get results. We don't have a shiny TV studio, marketing machine, TV or radio operation to advertise it, big names presenting on it. And yet, with your help listening and downloading, we are mixing it with the big boys. We're right up there in the podcast charts. So thank you for downloading the podcast on iTunes or on Acast, subscribing on either one, leaving us your reviews, and also for following us on Twitter and whatnot, at Rugby Podcast. So now, let's get on with it. Hands in and pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
Right, we're in the rugby dungeon and we're ready for another Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. I'm Tim. Phil is over there.
Hi, Tim.
That's JB.
Hello, Tim.
Phil, that's a lovely Canterbury throwback Lions jersey you've got on there.
Do you like this? The classic Lions.
I do. It's beautiful.
And do you know what I love the most? It's the detailing on the shoulders.
Oh, the little cross hatches.
Exactly. That makes all the difference.
Yeah, the reinforced shoulders.
In fact,
for when I put in those big hits.
I liked it so, I liked it so much. If I had a team, if I owned a team, they'd only be allowed to wear old, baggy cotton rugby tops.
Right, quick, before we get into it, because we're going to be previewing the Six Nations, we're going to be looking back on a big weekend in the Pro 12 and the Premiership and everything else that's been going on in the world of rugby. Super Rugby's on the way and there's loads of other stuff going on. So, a quick game of Who Am I? So, Phil versus JB, and play along as well. I'll give you a Wikipedia page description of a rugby player. If you buzz in with and say an answer and you get it wrong,
you're out.
You can't answer until the other person has had a
guess. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
All right.
Yeah, that's good.
So you give away control. So, I am a retired rugby player. I played both rugby union and rugby league codes.
Okay.
A goal-kicking backline player who has played rugby in England, Australia and Wales.
Yestyn Harris.
It's not Yestyn Harris.
Ooh.
So you've got control now, JB. I have since become
television and media personality
in both the Welsh and English language.
Jonathan Davis.
Correct.
Yes. Correct. You see that? I just took my time there.
He's quite an interesting fella, that. He was a painter-decorator whilst he was playing for Llanelli.
Was
and
he?
Then Neath. I know. It's a different world, different time.
It really is.
I believe in like the 70s there was a lot of Welsh rugby union props who went to play league who were like coal miners and blacksmiths and
hod
carriers and that kind of stuff.
Definitely.
And went up to St. Helens and Wigan and Leeds.
Well, like Dai Young.
Live fast, Dai Young.
Did he?
Yeah, Dai Young played rugby league. Do you want to hear another story about a rugby league, rugby union convert? So, who was the rugby league convert that played in the Lions tour of South Africa? Not the one just gone, the one before that. And is a bit of a legend.
John Bentley.
John Bentley, okay. So my old rugby club, Colwyn Bay, have booked in John Bentley to do the after dinner speaking. Do you know who else is called John Bentley? They have booked the guy from the Gadget Show to do to do the after dinner speaking at the end of season dinner.
Oh my god.
Yeah, good one. But if they're real men, they should stick with it now. And in May, he should come to the actual dinner.
Very
right,
good.
Next one. I am a French international rugby union player of Portuguese origin. I play at scrum half and occasionally fly half.
Jean-Baptiste Alassade.
No.
Ugh.
Phil, you've got control.
God damn.
Okay.
In 2010, I was instrumental in guiding France to a Six Nations Grand Slam. I was picked after Julien Dupuy, who was first choice, was banned for eye gouging and produced masterful performances, including a rout of reigning champions Ireland at the Stade de France. I'm a particularly vocal leader of the pack and known in France as Le Petit Général.
Okay, that confirms it. I was
no
expecting. I was getting close, but I think it's Morgan Parra.
It is Morgan Parra.
Is he Portuguese descent? Well,
yeah,
obviously, you just said he was.
Yeah, just speaking of which, I know it's not Portugal, but Spain. Do you see the Spanish sevens team did a nice thing this week? They were cleaning up a hotel in Fiji.
Yeah,
why were they doing that?
During the cyclone.
Is it Hurricane Winston or
something
Cyclone
like,
Winston?
Yeah.
It's very nice of them.
Yeah.
It was.
They were putting stuff to protect it, like putting barriers up to protect the hotel.
That's rugby,
and then
that is.
Up
that's afterwards. Just rugby.
Or it is a little bit of self-preservation because they need protecting too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be putting up the barriers and I'm not particularly charitably minded.
Right, I reckon we should start with the Six Nations. We just talked about, Morgan Parra and how he's being overlooked by France. He's still only 27,
Is that all he is?
Old. Yeah. It's unreal. He was picked when he was like only in his very early 20s.
Oh my God, it feels like he's on the verge of retirement.
He turned 27 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. But we'll get onto that one. Let's start with England, Ireland. Eddie Jones, do you see what he said about Ireland this week? He said they play like Stoke City. So among the many things that Eddie Jones has been quoted saying this week, he's been quite vocal, including saying that George Ford is a master in progress.
Yeah.
But he also said that Ireland play like Stoke, as in just lump it.
I completely disagree.
Well, that is pretty much how they beat England last year in Ireland. They kicked everything and just chased very, very hard. But we've not seen as much of that. Of them doing that, this Six Nations.
Yeah.
It's very unfair, okay? The team that kicked the ball the most are the All Blacks. There's no real correlation between kicking, winning, passing, winning, any of these things. It's just about good decision making. If you need to kick it 26 times every 10 minutes, well, that, you know, and it's the right option, then it's the right option.
Well, I'll put it like this. I looked at the probable England and Ireland teams,
mm-hmm.
and I sort of looked at who I would pick out of the two of them. So tell me if you disagree with this one. I mean, Ireland have got their fair share of injury problems. That's
yeah,
there's no doubt about that. Huge number. But I would possibly, the only people I would pick from Ireland would be 9-10-12.
An Irish 9-10-12?
Murray Sexton Henshaw over Kerr or Young's Ford Farrell.
I prefer Kerr, as it happens. A Sexton...
Oh, definitely.
Really?
Sexton was English...
If there was a Lions test tomorrow, Sexton would 100% start.
100% he wouldn't, because Gatland would be taking that Lions tour and Bigger would be starting. So, take that back.
We can disagree, but 9-10-12 is a strength for Ireland, as is their front row. And I would probably pick Healy and Best. Stander, Murray, Sexton, Henshaw is who would get in. My conclusion is Ireland should... kick the crap out of the ball, have no creativity. Henshaw hit the gain line, Sexton kick. That's the only area of Ireland's team that I think match up well with England. Is that if that's your strength, then crash Henshaw up and then get Sexton kick.
Yeah, I see your point. I see your point. And that is exactly how they beat England last year. They purposely played a limited game plan. They pinned England back and let England try and play their way out of their own 22. And England failed.
Is Joe Schmidt, is there creaks happening with him? Because he seems like a man who's scratching his head a little bit.
No, I don't think so.
He's won two championships, so he deserves respect, obviously. But this is as tough a period as he's going to have had.
Yeah, and it will be. When you're losing, I mean, it's five of their starting pack have been unavailable. And they have got injuries in the back line as well. It is going to be tough.
These tough times, it couldn't happen at a better time. A start of a World Cup cycle. Get people who haven't been regulars playing, just like Wales did a few years ago. In fact, I think these times are absolutely critical. Because one of the worst things you can do is insulate your starting 15 and rely on them year after year.
All right, well, let me take that one and flip it onto England and go, what changes would you make? Because I'm going to put it out there. I think he's a fantastic club man. He's a fun character. Haskell is not good enough for the England 15.
What has Haskell done to him?
Can you hold back the likes? Can you hold back Itoje? He made such a more of an impact than Haskell made.
Oh, at seven, you want Itoje to play seven?
As they did at the end of the game. I wouldn't. I would keep those two and use Itoje as an impact.
He's in a team which is still in contention for the Grand Slam.
Yeah, he made eight tackles and good tackles. That was all he did the whole game.
He isn't a conventional seven, okay? As in, he's not a fetcher.
I don't think
but
even
he's
as a six.
Good
he's a good player. I'm just saying he's not good enough to start. I'd change it up anyway.
Who would you replace him with? He's saying with Itoje.
I just say I don't think you can hold back Itoje much longer because he's playing better.
Completely agreed, right? But it's like saying, should you put Etzebeth or someone on the flank? Itoje is going to be such a destructive force in second
row. As soon as Ewes is fit, that's me.
Well, that's a different question,
isn't
it?
That is a different question, yeah. I think that's more of a possibility. I think if anyone is under pressure from Itoje, it's Launchbury. And you're probably close to having a Cruis Itoje starting second row with then either Launchbury and Laws on the bench.
Yeah, when Dave Ewes comes back, I think it's Robshaw that will get the cut.
No.
You've got to remember about Ewers is he's an absolute monster and a huge ball carrier. Who better to come off the bench? So actually, they might just keep it as it is.
I think Haskell's a fantastic guy, great character. I don't think as a rugby player he's good enough to play as England's starting team. No, I don't. I get a little tiresome of his when you look at his Twitter and Instagram.
Oh, here pages. It comes. Here we go.
Like he tweeted this week.
I'm a little tired of it. Well, actually, he tweeted this.
Anyone agree, guys? No pants are the best pants. You going to defend that, Jay?
I don't think there's anything particularly controversial there. I think I agree with what you're saying.
I'm glad you don't subscribe to that view, particularly given the way you're sat at the moment, JP.
Well, when you guys aren't here, this is how I hang around in the dungeon.
If Robshaw had said that, you'd have absolutely
What an idiot.
Barrels.
Why is he not concentrating on his rugby? Yeah. That's what I'd be saying.
All right, so England are looking in good shape, and I think Ireland will hold on for 50, 60 minutes, and I think England will win by 10.
I think that's probably not going to be far off that.
England feel like they're on the up. Ireland are struggling. I think England are going to win, but I don't think, as you predicted, I think it's going to be a very slow kind of 3 points here, 3 points there. It's going to be very, very slow to the sword.
Really. I could believe that because I'll say another thing as well. I think this Six Nations has been very disappointing as a spectacle.
I don't know if I agree with that.
In terms of the quality of rugby.
Yes or no, I've seen a couple of articles saying there's only been one good game.
Which one was that?
The last
20 minutes of Wales-Scotland.
Yeah.
The last 20 minutes was great.
You've got to consider a couple of things. One, it's early on, so a lot of these squads haven't played together. They only had a week in camp. To the weather, but the games and the tightness, most of the games have been decided by a single score, apart from the England-Italy game. So it's been really interesting, really close rugby.
Bearing in mind the Northern Hemisphere sides, the Six Nations sides got schooled by the Southern Hemisphere teams.
Right.
I was hoping that at the start of a cycle, we might have a little bit more ambition than we've had.
That's nonsense.
Mike Phillips, who, by the way, Bob Bridle, 31 on Twitter, said he's amazed that when we were talking about our Valentine's Day bromances out of rugby players that sexy, big sexy Mike Phillips didn't get a mention. Quite right. But Mike Phillips said this week that the culture that Warren Gatland instills in Wales is the players and the players get so much stick if they make an error in the video sessions.
Good.
That they're afraid to try anything, and that's why players never offload. Welsh players don't offload.
Okay.
And that's why Welsh players don't try to play attacking rugby.
Well, that's nonsense. I mean, look, this is coming from Mike Phillips, who was binned off early doors from the Wales camp. They play good structured rugby with good decisions.
Yeah.
Now,
which doesn't beat Southern Hemisphere
teams. One of the reasons that there's this big, there's always belly aching about the Six Nations this year.
No, is belly aching the right word?
I think it is from some quarters of the media. When they're saying this is the worst Six Nations for however long.
I didn't say that.
No, you didn't, but the rugby media have.
I think it has been the quality of rugby and the amount of endeavour shown by teams has been disappointing.
I was hoping for more as well, and I think we will see more, but it takes time.
Yeah.
And the conditions don't necessarily help
help the way
it's gone.
Moving on to, you know, Wales, France a little bit more. France is the only advantage they have scrum time, really.
I would describe the French team as a very, very dry, shrubby forest in the middle of extreme desert heat waiting to ignite.
It's shrubby forest, that's Maxime Médard's sideburns.
Girlfriend.
very continental, that.
I just got this, you know, when they came out against Italy, first game of the tournament, they really tried to play a lot. And if you look at the individuals, all these lads combining, I think it's only a matter of time until someone gets an absolute hiding.
I think that's possible. I think it will take a bit more time, and because they've not, from the two games we've seen them, they've not particularly gelled very well. They beat Ireland, but it was only Ireland's kind of poor performance, failure to score any points, and then ultimate injuries in the pack.
But you talk about attacking intent. The first 20 minutes against Italy, I thought, oh my god, this will be a cricket score.
Yeah.
Because everything has been played. In fact, if anything, there was too much rugby been played.
There was. They were trying to run it from everywhere, and it made it easy for the Italians to defend.
It's probably because they were wearing a sevens kit.
I think this will be a comfortable Welsh win. I think it'll be comfortable. Scrum aside,
France have got fast backs, but they're not playing particularly cohesive and coherently at the moment, are they?
I'm not overly confident. Phil Wales are due a slip up any time soon. They were lucky to get out of Ireland. Let's not count Italy, because they're Italy. I think we're going to struggle. I can see a narrow loss to the French.
I think Wales will win unless that French back line does happen to click, which I don't think it will.
But what if it? I mean, if they click and the scrum go as well, it could be a really tough day for Wales.
I don't think it will happen. I don't think it's too soon. I think it's too soon. I think Wales will win fairly comfortably.
Italy, Scotland. Are Scotland going to hit double figures for defeats, or is this where it turns around for Vern Cotter in the Six Nations?
I think Scotland will smash them. I think it's going to be the biggest gap of any of the games.
England won by 30 points against Italy. 31 points.
Sorry, in this weekend.
This weekend. Okay.
I think Scotland are going to absolutely put them to the sword.
I think Scotland will win, but I think it'll be close. I think Italy, they're a solid team. If they had so many injuries against England, because they lost, I think, three or four people during the game, then it would have been a lot closer, because, like you said, for 60 minutes they were right in there.
Boy,
so I think it will be similar.
The spectacle and the tradition and the fans, that's never in question with the Six Nations. I think the quality and the ambition shown by teams has been lacking, and I'm hoping that that's going to catch up with the tenseness and the crowd and everything else this weekend. I'm hoping. We'll turn our attention to a little bit of domestic rugby. We've got the other international rugby that's going on around the world, which we can touch upon later. We've got Super Rugby happening, so we can get into that. We'll look ahead to the other games happening this weekend. But Pro 12 Premiership, mainly our focus right now. And JB, you've got some Wheel of Rugby questions. Not hypothetical. You've got some situations to throw me and Phil out that we were going to have to debate. Regardless of what our actual opinion is, we're going to have to debate one side or the other. Go on.
Well, unfortunately, the actual wheel isn't spinning, so I'm just going to ask you three of the questions.
All right.
Okay, so who has most regretted not signing their targeted fly half? London Irish or Harlequins?
I'll take London Irish.
Okay, and you can take Danny Cipriani for Quins.
When I talked about Worcester as my likely candidates to go down the other week, I said it's because they don't have that experience of closing out games, winning points and game management at fly half. When you look at London Irish, you have an 18-year-old, someone even less experienced than Brophy Clues, is even less experienced than Tom Heathcote, and you see what Andy Goode is doing at Newcastle. He is the player, or someone of his ilk is the player London Irish need to complement the young energy that they've got in that squad, and not having him, it could seal their relegation, and it would be making me absolutely spit chunks if I was a London Irish fan, because he retired in inverted commas, injured in inverted commas, and is now back and helping to seal potentially London Irish's fate. Over to you, Philip.
Okay. I think Quins will really regret it, and they will regret it more because of the long-term nature of it. Goode would have only been there for one season, whereas Cipriani would have been on a 2-3 year deal. and Quinns need someone of a very high calibre, high quality to replace Nick Evans, who is and was one of the best fly halves, well, in the world. All Black, and would have got a lot more All Black caps if it wasn't for a certain Dan Carter.
Dean Carter.
And the drop-off after Nick Evans at Quinns is, I think, the biggest drop-off for any fly half in the league. So dropping to Ben Botica. Ben Botica is a solid player, but he is nowhere near the level of someone like Evans or Sippers. And another thing, Sippers, with his pace and his free-flowing ability, would fit perfectly in with that Quinns back line.
That's quite convincing, actually, Phil. I was going to go with Tim. I'm going to have to go with Phil.
I think that's wrong.
I also think that might be a bit wrong. Because if London Irish go down...
Don't be so convincing, though. Don't be so convincing.
Sorry.
All right. Worst Tom. Tom Court or Tom Francis?
Do you want to pick first?
Okay. British and Irish Lion Tom Court is only a British and Irish Lion because he's really an Australian who was back home and there were some injuries and he was the closest man available and eligible to play on the tour. He is one of the worst international scrimmages I've ever seen.
He was
a 24-year-old failed shot putter who had some Irish ancestry and decided to come to Ireland to play a bit of rugby and somehow has managed to steal a career out of it. Do I need to go into the time when moved across to a tie?
Tom Francis is good in the context of a player who was playing Championship rugby a year ago. However, he's not as good as British and Irish Lion Tom Court, and he's also good for someone who looks like, if I didn't know Andy Goode was playing for Newcastle, I'd have thought Tom Francis had eaten Andy Goode.
Well, it was a very convincing argument by Phil. And he did win me over. But actually, this is a factual one. Tom Francis is the worst player. Tim wins.
That's not the point of this
game. It's my game, my rules.
Right.
Last one, tiebreaker. Right. Most likely to play Judas in the musical of Jesus. Will it be Robbie Henshaw or Danny Cipriani? Tim, you get to choose first.
This is Robbie Henshaw. Robbie Henshaw Judas is colluding with Herod and the establishment that is the IRFU, because how he is going to Leinster. So Connacht brought him through. Then at the IRFU go, well done on, congratulations on bringing Robbie Henshaw through. You're a bright star. You're top of the Pro 12. You're doing really well. You're right up there in the mix. We're going to centrally contract that guy, and then we're going to decide that he needs to move to the trendy, fashionable club. They have just put Connor on a cross.
Now, nice. I finished.
That was very good.
Yeah. I'd go with Crown of Thorns or something if I was, you know.
Now, I wonder how much of this was Robbie Henshaw's decision and how much the IRFU have wanted their star man to move across. Whereas Danny Cipriani, Steve Diamond has nurtured him. He was a broken animal.
He's been suckling Dimes' teeth, hasn't he, for a few years?
Exactly. He was at one stage thrown out of a club in Melbourne for stealing a bottle of vodka from behind the bar.
Unbelievable.
And Dimes showed trust and faith in him and has nursed him back to health and brought him up to be playing for England. He's actually played for England since he's been at Sale, and so Cipriani throws it back in his face.
Well, I'm saying this, which is Cipriani's defection was like a soldier defecting from one side of a war to another, whereas Robbie Henshaw is even more despicable. He actually turned coats in the context of a civil war. So I'm going to give it to Tim.
Can I just say on the whole Cipriani thing, because we live in Manchester here, us Egg Chasers boys, me, Phil, JB, we all live in Manchester, and I'm very, very aware of the reaction of Sale Sharks fans to this. And whilst I completely understand the disappointment of losing your star player, I do completely sympathise with that. And this goes for any club and any player. Any player who, when a player comes to either the end of his contract or has a break clause which the club agreed to in a contract, to then say that a player is being disloyal, is slapping the club in the face, is defecting, or any of these words, it really hacks me off. This is a profession, this is a job. Yeah. These guys have a short career, and if Danny Cipriani wasn't playing well, you can sure as hell Steve Diamond wouldn't have offered him a contract and would have chucked him out. And rightly so. That's how professional sport works. I'm not having this bleating that he's let anyone down.
I tend to agree. The only thing I would caution is maybe the grass it isn't greener. But in this case, it clearly is. So the thing is about Sale, it's such a shame. Because if they keep these players, they would actually be a force.
Yeah. It's frustrating, but it'll be the same with Connacht.
That upsets me even more, actually.
If you're not filling stadiums and you've not got as much money, you can't continue to keep all the best players.
That's different because Robbie Henshaw is being paid by the same people, but he's going to a different... That's what really gets me about this.
I think the Robbie Henshaw one is actually more in the hand, actually. Because you can't, on the one hand, say, well, there's not enough people here, when you rip out the only star that they really have. I mean, Pat Lam is doing a great job there.
I think Johnny Sexton just said, I want Robbie Henshaw. And that's it.
But all these others know.
Yeah. Well, Sexton does need some protecting. He needs a big inside centre to look after him. So maybe it's that.
Maybe Joe Schmidt said, look, I want to put him and Ringrose together and develop them for the future or something like that.
That's interesting. Go on, Phil. I know where you're going.
From my point of view, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here. I can see some logic in it. If you say you want to get all your best players having experience of knockout rugby, of top level Heineken Cup or European Champions Cup, then the way to do that is having the best players playing together. Mm. And by Leinster, who are losing Bentio, making them a little bit stronger, it means you could have... Well, I think they contributed something like 15 or 17 players to the Ireland squad. So you get 17 players getting experience of knockout rugby next season.
There's so many layers to this. You are right, because stronger teams go further in Europe, so on and so forth. But actually, devaluing the domestic competition, which is already a joke, doesn't help.
Well, hold on. We've had some tweets on this, because you're very vocal about your disrespect for the Pro 12.
Yeah, it's pathetic.
Bookie16 on Twitter... the bottom four in the Aviva Premiership have won 25% of their games. The bottom four in the Pro 12 have won 24% of their games, having played seven games more. A little bit of Pro 12 respect. And then, to add to that, also added, in the Pro 12, 15 points separate the top eight. In the Aviva Premiership, 16 points separate the top eight. So how is the Pro 12 not competitive?
Oh, right.
And Treviso, we got a message from Rawls saying, this was last week he said this, I assume after Treviso's first win in the Pro 12, that's going to feature prominently on the podcast. Well, they haven't just won last week, they won this weekend. So Treviso have won two on the bounce.
That's quite incredible. I mean, that really is. Let's just talk about the bottom four, because I thought that as well. I thought, hang on, you made a real good point there.
And Scarlets beat Ulster at the Kingspan.
Don't mention it, Tim. Didn't happen.
If you just matched up the bottom four against the bottom four in both leagues, where do you think we'd be? Do you think it'd be 50-50? Because I think it's a mismatch of such epic proportion, it shouldn't even be allowed to happen. People would get hurt.
I do think the Premiership... If you put the four together in a league, the eight together...
Worcester would... Worcester... Bath are bottom four, right?
Yeah.
Bath are in the bottom four. Come on. Let's not pretend the Pro 12 is anything other than the hobby league, which it really is. Because that's what it is. It's a hobby league.
To the people tweeting in, thank you very much for your tweets to @RugbyPodcast and keep them coming. You can use the hashtag Pro12Respect if you want to join Bookie on that one.
Maybe
you're not
wrong.
Getting a lot of change out of JB.
No, maybe I am wrong, because I've been wrong before. Let's just see how they go in the latter stages of Europe, and then we'll make a decision. There's no Pro 12 teams left.
Oh, yeah.
So he was reiterating his point.
Just on Robbie Henshaw, Michael Dunning tweeted us to say, as a Connacht fan, I can only presume Henshaw was a gift to help out the struggling boys in blue in the East.
It is. Do you know what this is? It's the rugby equivalent of the banker's bailout. That's exactly what it is.
Oh, also, we got another tweet as well from the guys at Rugby Media, Nick Heath at Rugby Media. And he said, I was listening to last podcast, boys. It sounds as though Phil has never heard the pun longest in the shower before. Is this true? And if so, how? You did react to it when we were going through Thomas Waldrum's questions in the Sale Sharks match day programme. You did laugh at it like you had never heard it before.
No, I have heard that pun before.
I thought correcting the grammar was funny, personally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Good. Just thought we'd get that one. Tycho Anomaly on Twitter has said that, have you seen Rob Baxter's quotes about a bigger, stronger you is? Rob Baxter has been saying that the work he's been doing in the gym is phenomenal. And he's going to come back even bigger and stronger.
I wonder how you do that. Just pure gym work, I guess, and clean eating.
I guess, yeah. Mm. Me and JB had a gym session together on Friday night. Yeah.
Did you? How did he do, Phil?
It was humbling. humbling experience.
I was running some numbers and comparing him to proportionally the weights he lifted to the weights that my girlfriend lifts.
Right, okay, look, let's be very clear. I am slimming down. I'm losing kick.
How much are you? How much are you weighing in at the
minute? 103 from 100,
really?
From 112 at Christmas.
No, Jay's a strong boy.
So you ran some numbers?
I ran some numbers.
Go on then.
Against Claire.
Oh, God.
And you're probably proportionally, roughly similarly strong.
What does he deadlift?
We did a chest and tricep session.
That's not proper weights.
No. Jay's not interested in proper weight.
Right, something which could be coming to the podcast very soon, and I think you're going to see plenty about it. You were talking about gym work. Canterbury are going to be running a competition, which we'll be able to tell you about soon. In fact, we'll tweet out the information at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. JB, if you listened last season, made a big joke and a big play about wanting to go and do a gym session with Jeff Parling after those pictures of Jeff Parling doing back squats and deadlifts and stuff, to the point where they actually sent you the full kit that Jeff Parling wore.
Yeah, do you know what else? Jill's really disappointing. I was sent the gym kit of another player. Do you remember? Only Mr. Sam Burgess.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, the bath vest.
Thankfully, I won't be able to outlift Sam Burgess in this event. So,
you couldn't outlift Jeff Parling.
No, of course not.
I thought you were suggesting that you could outlift Jeff Parling.
I literally shuffle bits of paper regarding pensions around a desk. He is a professional athlete.
But no, they've got a competition, Phil, haven't they?
They have. The website's jointhecommitted.com. We'll tweet it out, but it's to win the ultimate training experience, and it'll be a training day with Jeff Parlin, Robbie Henshaw and Kevin Sinfield.
Big Kev. I'd love to train with Kev.
Hotel, transfers.
Yeah, pro athlete training, full training kit. Travel and accommodation, superfood lunch, a goodie bag, nutritional plan, development plan.
How is... How do they get a super Kev out of Yorkshire without a nosebleed?
Well, it might be in Yorkshire.
We must be going to Yorkshire.
That's why there's travel and accommodation.
So we're flying straight to Leeds Bradford.
Straight to Leeds Bradford and then to
Hotel Rendezvous in Wakefield.
Yeah, exactly. John tweeted us this evening to say, thanks for letting me know about Cornerstone. I'm with you boys and I'm on board.
I was going to say, they're now our sponsors, but they're not. They're now our partners.
They found out through social media. JB became a customer, got me and Phil onto it, and we all were well on board with this like mail order shaving malarkey, and they caught wind that we did a podcast and were also some of their customers and said, well, give your listeners a special deal.
Yeah, so, and they also know that most of our listeners are men or hairy women, so it made a lot of sense. This is the partnership which will go down in the annals. Matfield, Botha, yeah. Gregan Larkham, Egg Chaser's Cornerstone. It's the same thing.
So I'll be completely honest with you. We managed to get ourselves a little 10 quid off deal. And they said, but I'll tell you what, and tell your fellow egg chasers that listen. So, yeah, that's the deal that we're passing on to you. And it basically, if you go to cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, then you can get yourself £10 off if you sign up for mail order shaving, which is kind of a new thing. It's big in America.
Yeah, it's huge.
But it's well handy. You get this metal handle.
An aluminium lathed handle.
I know.
With your initials on it.
With your initials, up to three initials. cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers to get your special £10 off from us to you when you sign up, which you can sign up for as little as £4. You get your free handle, you can change it online, you can cancel at any time if you don't like it, but we think you will. Yeah. So,
and sorry Tim, one last thing, if /eggchasers is too much effort for you, you can simply type in the code eggchasers10.
If nothing else, get your free engraved handle so we can all have our team, Egg Chasers team handle, and then
we're going to have an Egg Chasers party. You can only get in if you've got a handle.
Right, in terms of Premiership then, let's just quickly rattle through this. That battle at the bottom is interesting, and London Irish.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Looking in a really difficult position. And again, caused by 6 from 6 at Kingston Park with Andy Goode pulling the strings for Newcastle.
Yeah, Andy Goode scoring 16 points.
What a guy.
Guided
what
Newcastle
a guy.
To another win.
I didn't see the game, so I can't comment on it. I just saw the results coming in from BT Sport. I mean, that's just incredible. It's just incredible.
Yeah, it's the only game I've not seen highlights of.
Do you know what we're not giving Andy Goode enough credit for is how well he gets them playing, how flat he plays the ball. He basically ignites that whole attack. The reason he's
got Chris Harries is a great player.
Yeah,
the hammer at the back.
Yeah,
you got some really good backs there. But that's exactly what I was talking about. London Irish have got great young backs. Mm. Newcastle have got great young backs. But having an Andy Goode makes a massive difference,
doesn't it? I think London Irish should be a completely different team with Goode. I was impressed with what's his name? It's like a mixture of two characters from Game of Thrones. What's his name? Beaufrey Clawes or something?
Theo Brophy Clues.
Theo Brophy Clues.
His first name's Theo.
Yeah.
Doesn't get any better, does it?
If it was Theon, that would be more Game
Theon
of Thrones.
Joffrey Clawes.
Johnny Williams outside him looks good.
Johnny Williams does look good.
Whatever happened to the big Irish fella, Sheridan? Is he still there?
He's gone to France.
Yeah.
Has he?
Is he?
Yeah.
Oyena or one of
he's at Oyena.
He's like 6'4" centre.
Yeah.
Quick question for you: who was the other fly half to have their first Premiership start this weekend?
Oh,
go on.
Of course, Leicester's.
Yes, what's his name?
Oh yeah,
I can't remember.
Oh god, yeah, no, yeah, yes, Ollie Bryant. Ollie Bryant.
Yeah, Ollie Bryant. Is he on? Imagine that for your first start.
With Tuilagi and John de Villiers.
Yeah, there's no way I can lose this. No way.
But he did.
But they did.
Yeah.
3 on the bounce for them. And Harlequins stopped a 3 on the bounce rot themselves.
I thought this is by far the most, for this game, I thought Leicester should be far more disappointed than Quins. Far, far more. They had pretty much their whole team out, bar a fly half. And they did nothing. They did absolutely. In fact, they were poor.
And I thought, because we looked at their team sheet earlier in the season, we're like, how are Leicester doing this with some of these guys? And so for that reason, I thought that this international period, they would actually kick on.
Yeah.
Not go back.
Yeah, me too. Because you just said it then. They're losing a couple of players.
It's one of those things. I wonder if, because they have bought these players in, I mean, who on earth has heard of... what's his name?
Toulouse Vianu.
Who on earth has heard of him or who's really watched Beetham? And I wonder if, because they've been in the league for a couple of months now, whether there's some video analysis on them or they know
maybe
some secrets of how to stop this new Aaron Major attack. What's going on there?
I'll tell you some people that would know who those guys are, and that would be people that watch Super Rugby, which we'll get onto in a moment. Mm. But I'll pick up on something which goes across these games, and it goes even broader than that. It goes across rugby in general. We joke about and we talk about, well, not always joke, sometimes we say it genuinely, that we worry about where the game's going overall, game going soft and stuff, some of the decisions. There was a few things that happened this weekend that all lead me to the same conclusion. Banners, who had a great game for Bath.
That was ridiculous.
His high tackle in inverted commas, which is just a good hard tackle.
Yep.
There was Manu Tuilagi's arm tackle, which was just a good hard hit with an arm wrapped around. I don't understand it.
That one, from one angle, it looked like there was no arm. From the other angle, it was clear because one of his arms didn't wrap, but one did.
And they all checked the TMO.
Yeah, I know.
And then another one, they checked the TMO. It happened in the London Irish game. It just made me so angry. Julian Salvi getting penalised for tackling someone in the air when Elliot Stook, and it happened recently, didn't it? But Elliot Stook caught the ball and jumped. What else is Julian Salvi or any rugby player going to do? And this is my point. And this is, rather than just moaning about individual situations, all of these things went to the TMO and all of them came up with decisions which I think are contrary to the ethos, the spirit of the players, the spirit of the game, and it's, you know, to use a JB phrase, it's letter of the law versus common sense, and they're siding with
slowly turning into me, Tim. You didn't even realise it.
However, right, so what? But I've got a solution, and that is TMOs should be ex-players. Because they may have played rugby a bit, and they may have played rugby 30 years ago, but I don't believe those TMOs have enough empathy for what those players are trying to do.
Right. Here's what... I've already given you the solution. TMOs should be highly excitable young boys between the ages of 12 and 15, right? And they should only stop play for violent offences when that young lad says, this is too much now. This is... that's it. Because at the moment, you've got these guys... I mean, what? You're right. The profile of these video refs, they're just not good enough. They're kind of... I've got this kind of policeman / teacher kind of letter of the law. It doesn't mix well with what rugby actually is.
Yeah, exactly. And do you know how, like, you know, sometimes you see policemen or you hear policemen talk and they talk in ways that, you know...
He absconded from the scene.
Yes, exactly.
That's a southwesterly direction.
Exactly. Instead of going...
Two perpetrators.
He ran down that road. So it's the same thing. I want to hear a TMO go, rather than going, he did make contact and then slid up towards the neck region. I just want to hear an ex-player go, get on with it.
Yeah, it's such a great conversation. Isn't it? So you do that. You do the, he slid up. Are you saying he slid up making a curved crescent gesture with the outside of the knuckle? Can I confirm this, Tim? It's just...
Where do you stand on the Shout Brits red card? Because it was a clenched fist punch to the face, possibly a yellow, but I just think red's not... I just don't find that rugby for a red for that.
I think that is a definite red.
It's a red card, but not,
really?
not for the same reasons Phil thinks, OK? I think if you get hit, it's your duty to walk away and be, like, the bigger, harder guy. If you're hitting someone, first off, as an aggressive action, I'm OK with that. I'm not OK with you retaliating.
It wasn't a very good punch, right?
It wasn't a very good punch.
Oh, did it really?
He went off for concussion protocol, which he failed, and he stayed off the rest of the game.
Oh my god, he hardly connected with him. Wow, shout!
But yeah, he did.
Gets a man in the ring.
He did connect.
I think Tim's right, and not you, unfortunately, Phil. Which is, I don't think he would have passed the concussion protocol anyway, because it can't be that punch. It must have been something else.
I've watched the punch a few times. He does connect properly.
We celebrate the physicality and the gladiatorial nature of rugby. Occasionally, stuff that happens. I didn't know that he'd gone off and got concussed. That does change things, because I am a big one of saying that what the outcome is relevant to what the sanction should be. So
yeah,
maybe I'll take that back.
We don't know, do we? I mean, this is the problem with making it all litigious. We don't know if that concussion occurred before the punch. And that's the argument that I'd be making. Because it's not a particularly hard punch, Your Honour. Well, there is no... Now, if you played for Saracens, you'd know, because you'd have his concussion monitor on.
Yeah.
But you simply just don't know.
Yeah. No, that is a weak argument, in my opinion, Jay.
Well, I would be scouring the tape and saying, well, that is a bigger contact. That was a bigger contact.
Yeah.
Multiple contacts to the chest can cause concussion.
Right. I can understand why Brits did, because his leg got trapped, so he was worried and he was scared that... Because it was a year ago that he did his cruciates.
Yeah.
So he was worried that was going to happen again. He reacted.
Right.
But he shouldn't have reacted.
So two,
he,
yeah, red okay, okay. So two things. First is a quick observation. Is anyone more smiley and more punchy than Shout Brits? Right. I don't think anyone is as both as him. Second one is, I have some laws which I think we should implement. And these are serious laws. So I've already said, you... eliminate all kinds of talk for clearing out a ruck. My two new ones are, you don't need to wrap your arms when you tackle below the knee. And the third one is, a player in the air is fair game if the ball they're trying to retrieve is a pass. If it's a kick, they are not fair game.
Okay, that's interesting. All right.
Let me know what you think.
Well, at Rugby Podcast, you can tweet us. The one good thing we have, the one consistent element we have in domestic rugby, international rugby, whatever, is the wordsmith Nick Mullins, another listener of the podcast, who described Charles Pietau's handoffs as a pneumatic handoff, a titanium rod of an arm as well.
Mm.
So Worcester Sale could be a critical matchup, particularly with London Irish's result and Newcastle's result.
Yeah.
And with the context of Cipriani announcing he's going to Wasps. And Cipriani, you pointed it out on last week's podcast, his kicking the last couple of rounds of the Premiership has been really poor. It was woeful.
Yeah, missed 4 out of 4 conversions.
And they lost
20%. Yeah.
20%. They lost by 8 points. He missed 8 points worth of kicks, including one in front of the post to get a losing bonus point.
I guess guess is he stopped practicing now because he knows next year he's going to be playing in a squad with Elliot Daly.
But this is it. He will. This is another reason. A lot of Sale Sharks fans are saying, "Oh, well, he's clearly just like on the beach already." It's like, well, no. He wants to get on that plane to go to Australia with the England team. So So as a professional, he's worked that hard and he's staying in England because he wants to play for England because he could have gone to Toulon. I don't buy it, so
no.
I don't know what's going on, but here's a hypothetical, Phil, because I know you've thought about potential replacements for Sale, but very quick hypothetical. If Owen Farrell or George Ford go down, if Eddie Jones needs to bring a 10 into his squad, is Danny Cipriani still the next in line? Because his goal-kicking has been that bad.
Yes.
Yes, as
a
well.
A 10.
He's had 3 weeks of, he's probably on about 25% goal-kicking for the last 3 weeks. But yes, he would do. He's not turned into a bad player overnight. I mean, Milo was previously
not anymore.
In line, but I wouldn't bring him in. And then after that,
Burns, no thank
Freddie
you.
Burns, no.
Yeah, Good.
Andy Good.
Do you know who
Ben,
I think?
Ben Botica.
Do you know who I genuinely think would be an option for him is probably Good, but the other one. I think Alex Good would. They would look to move him around before bringing in a brand new fly half.
Come on then, Phil. You've been crunching the numbers and having a look at potential replacements.
Well, yeah, because Diamond has said it wasn't about money. And the figure that's been kind of mentioned is £400,000.
I've seen 300 and 400 mentioned, so yeah.
Yeah, which means that Sale have got a serious bit of cash to bring someone in.
Yeah.
So I've been having a look. I've been scouring the leagues for potentials. Now, Dimes has said his first choice would be English. But we've just listed the English fly halves there. So unless you're going to go for someone very young, like this Matt Prothero. Have you heard of this kid?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
He's at Gloucester. He's Swansea born. He's at Gloucester. He's a 19-year-old. He's chosen to represent England under-20s rather than Wales under-20s.
We'll see about that. We'll see what Gatland has to say about this.
Is another one on the list with Sam Underhill?
He's already played. He's already played for England.
Oh, hang on.
Under-20s.
But does that matter for England?
No, not for England. It would matter if he played for Wales, and that's what he's doing.
That's the kicker, yeah.
Because the rules state that if you represent the second tier international team, then you are committing, which for Wales, because they don't have an A side, is the under-20s.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So he's Welsh born, but would be English eligible. But I don't think they'd go for him, because they need someone who, out of the box, can win games. And the options at Sale are Joe Ford and Nick McLeod.
Oh, goodness me.
Yeah. The drop-off there. We spoke about Evans to Botica.
No, it's a deep, deep drop-off. That is.
So I had a look around the leagues. Elsewhere in England, if you're not going English, could you bring in someone like Owen Williams or Gareth Steenson?
Gareth Steenson? Why do you think that he'd be interested in going there?
Why not?
If you handed him a long contract?
Yeah,
because he's getting
contract.
To that age, he's 31.
Yeah.
Oh, I think he.
If you offered him £400,000, I think he'd be playing at Sale next year.
Yeah.
I think Exeter would match you. I think they'd keep him there.
Ooh, I'm not sure they've got the room in there.
Interesting.
In their salary cap.
Okay.
They made some good signings. They signed Lockie Turner, they signed Dave Dennis, they signed a couple of other Aussies.
Mm. That's interesting. Okay, I take that on board.
We're missing some obvious ones at Wasps, surely. The two guys at Wasps?
Yeah, Gopeth or Jackson.
Gopeth would be the one.
Either of those.
Would Gopeth, because the other observation I would make is Sale have got either ageing centres or very young potential centres. So I think a real metronomic goal-kicking 10 is a great fit for
two guys that I was thinking of. Berwick Barnes, who is an experienced guy.
Berwick Barnes, who's currently playing in Japan.
Yep.
Yes, he's on my list.
There's one. And the other one, Remy Tallis.
Now, Remy Tallis is also on my list.
Is he?
Now,
great minds.
Racing Metro have got 4 fly halves.
Sorry, Dan Carter. Dean Carter's Racing 92.
Dan Carter's Wrestling 92 have got...
Oh, just before you carry on, because we had another one of those, it was pointed out on Twitter that just as we've been pointing out that Wrestling 92 have to be referred to as Dan Carter's Wrestling 92, now apparently whenever you refer to Nathan Hughes, you have to be refer to Nathan Hughes, who qualifies for England in November.
That is very true.
Sorry, carry on.
So Wrestling have got Talers, DC, they've got a youngish French lad, Dan Biel, and they've got Johan Goosen.
That's right, yeah.
So I was thinking maybe Talers or Goosen, and if Brian Mujarti's got some connections there. So if you think in the top 14, there are a couple of English lads playing in the top 14.
Flood
and...
Is he the English fly off?
Rory Clegg.
Is he in France?
He's at Oyonnax.
How is he?
With him and Nicky Robinson are the two of their...
And there's someone else in Oyonnax that I found out today.
George Robson.
Eamon Sheridan, when we talked about
Eamon Sheridan, that's the one.
We talked about 10 minutes ago.
Look, I've got a lot... Okay, point taken.
But I don't think he'd go for either of those. The other ones in France, possibly... So, Sale have got some history with attracting French players.
Yep.
And with Picamoles moving over to the Premiership, you could possibly attract someone like Tranduc or even someone like Michelac.
Ooh.
Toulon, again, they've got four fly halves.
I can imagine Michelac being the worst fit in any rugby team ever. It's just...
He's got experience playing for Sharks before.
Natal
Sharks.
Oh. So is Andy Goode.
Yeah.
Quick question for you. To the nearest five, how many French players play in the Premiership?
Five.
Phil?
Zero.
Phil is correct. There is not one French player in all of the Premiership.
Wow.
Very good.
Andy Goode might go if he contractually is allowed to start in October after any pre-season. And
contract starts first game. Yeah. He just rocks up.
Corona's in the icebox.
Yeah.
Just walks up. Coach, which shirt's mine? Takes 10 off young Sam James. The sheriff's in town. Get out.
He'll take the Evian Lewis Roberts shirt and just stick like duct tape zero on the end of it.
I've got an Evian Lewis Roberts shirt.
Have you?
That's not a joke. It's in my collection up there, and I got it because Sale sell their match shirts for some reason at the end of the season for a discount price. I wanted one. I wanted Tom Brady's shirt, so I've got Brady on an Evian Lewis Roberts match shirt.
Mm. Rumours about Tom Brady going to Leicester Tigers this week.
Is that right?
Really?
Because he's behind Nev Edwards and people like that are sailing the pecking order. He was being talked about as a potential England winger a few years ago. And anyway, we'll watch that one with interest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Going on. So a few more. So Pro 12, there's a couple of interesting ones. So you could go... I was thinking possibly...
Because London... Tom Coventry is going to be wanting a fly half at London Irish. So these are all potential ones for them as well.
And Quinns need a fly half
and
as well.
And Worcester,
yeah. So in the Pro 12, Sam Davies from Ospreys is an option.
That's the option.
Yeah,
that's the one
that's
there.
That's an option. Or Zebra have got the two Italian fly halves, Carlo Canna and Kelly Haimolina.
Haimolina shouldn't be playing rugby, but the other one...
The other one
maybe
can play a bit.
Yeah.
Can play a bit. And then Super Rugby. Now, if you were going to spend that 400k, you can get... Some top, you could get potentially someone like Bernard Foley, Christian Lealeofana, Bowden Barrett, Lima Sapanga, I think might be an interesting
one. Because he's not likely to break into those top three, is he?
He'll be probably third choice for the All Blacks behind Cruden and Bowden Barrett. But he was top point scorer, he won the Super Rugby last year, he's a great, great player. He could be very
good. He might have a 2-year sabbatical for 400k a year.
For the right price, I think he could be a very good option.
Definitely, Brad.
If you're going to spend your sterling now, spend it in South Africa. You can get an awful lot of rands, and the rand appreciates about 20% every 10 years to sterling. You can get a lot of player for your money there.
Let's get on to Super Rugby, but before we do, we'll do that via a little stash watch. We got Warren Mullis from the American Rugby Podcast, good friends of ours. We're hoping to see them in New York when we go out for the New York game.
Did we mention we're going out to the New York game?
Yeah, we're going out to New York. He sent us a picture of the USA rugby team all in their team swimming trunks. the Star Spangled Banner Speedo pattern. it looks brilliant.
I'm not particularly patriotic, as you can probably tell when I talk about South Wales. But God, if I played USA rugby, I'd be so patriotic.
Yeah, damn right. Right, so here we go then. This is going to be a moment in time and in history, because JB said a few weeks ago that he would explain the format of Super Rugby on the brink of the Super Rugby season. So here we are on the brink of the Super Rugby season, or as it should be known, the Toulon Academy tournament.
Very good, Tim.
Where men's attack meets kids' defence. The Toulon Academy Cup.
Did you see the warm-up game between the Waratahs and the Highlanders?
Oh, yeah.
The attack was incredible, but no one wanted to make a tackle.
Nobody wanted to make a tackle. So, JB, let's hear. How's this format work with the different African conference?
All right. So you've got four conferences, from what I understand. Okay, so you've got New Zealand, you've got Australia, and then you've got two South African ones. So the conferences comprise of 5, 5, 4, and 4. So what basically happens is, the winner of each conference goes directly into the playoffs, and then you go through a wild carding system when the remaining teams are all tabulised, and from that process you then take out the remaining teams.
I want to hear Stuart Barnes use the phrase tabulised, yeah. Please, on the coverage.
The remaining teams in their proportions to the size of their conferences. Does that make sense?
One of the things that is important is the 6-5-4 rule. Do you know what that is, Jay?
Yes.
Maru Todgi can play for England in any one of those shirts.
That is very true.
No, it means you play six in your own conference, five in the conference that's adjacent to you,
yeah,
and then four from the remaining teams.
It's very NFL-y.
Yeah, it is, yes. Very NFL.
Yeah. Which I quite like, actually.
There'll be loads of rugby, there'll be loads of really terrible stash.
And there'll be different draws as well. So you'll be playing home and away, but you might play some easier teams at home or more difficult teams away.
JB, you know how you did a Pro 12 update? We'll have to, between us, come up with a Super Rugby update thing like...
Sounds like you're the man for this.
Yeah, because the Toulon Academy Cup, where man's attack meets kids' defence.
That's very... I like that.
And
you're going to...
From the people that brought you Crusaders 84, Southern Kings 62.
By the way, they're comfortably the worst named teams ever.
Yeah.
The Sun Wolves. Come on.
Oh,
the Sun.
I like that.
What does it mean? It's like, in America when they... just combine like Timber and Wolves, or the Bearcats, or the Toad Frogs, or whatever it is.
It's better than Rabbitohs. Ones they have in rugby league.
And what's a Waratah? Does anyone know what a Waratah is?
It's
a flower.
That is a Waratah.
That I would play for my Waratah. My word, that's inspiring.
It's a large shrub or small tree native to southeastern parts of Australia.
It's not sure if it's even a tree or a shrub.
It has bright red flowers.
So, anyway, a warm welcome to our Southern Hemisphere listeners, and it's your time now. Rugby starts again for you, and we can't wait to talk about the Toulon Academy Cup on the podcast every week.
To be fair, I'm massively looking forward to this.
I am.
Yeah. It is cool to be watching rugby 10 a.m.
6 a.m. in bed while you're sort of bleary-eyed asleep.
6 a.m. Yeah. You finish watching rugby at 12 a.m. Get on to Broughton Park, lose another game. It's a wonderful way to spend your Saturday.
One of our good friends wakes up early every Friday morning, makes himself a cooked breakfast, and watches a full Super Rugby game before going to work on Friday morning, flexi time, so he goes into work an hour late.
Oh, I wonder if he works for a large bank or if he works for a council.
Do you know what's really great? In the new radio job that I have...
You don't work Fridays, do you?
What? Sorry? No, I'm going to be working Monday to Thursday.
Oh my God.
So Friday mornings is a bit of me time with Super Rugby.
Yeah.
Get in.
That's nice.
Right, fixtures this weekend then. Pro 12 Premiership. Oh, by the way, we haven't really touched on the Pro 12 very much. Some really, really good results. Like, again, the bottom teams performing really well. Scarlets had a great result.
No, terrible result.
Terrible kit. Horrific kit. It looks like a tequila sunrise.
Yeah.
But brilliant result.
Scarlets did play well, particularly in that first half. They scored a couple of very good tries. Clinical. And then second half, their defence also had a lot of territory in possession and just couldn't get over the line. Frustrating from Ulster's point of view, because they would have maintained first place in the league.
Yeah, I suppose a lot of these sides are in similar positions. Scarlets probably less so in terms of missing players, which Ulster and other teams will always point to. But getting into the domestic rugby that is coming up this weekend, we start on Saturday. No games on Friday because the Wales game with DJ Spoonie and the disco at the Principality
now
Stadium.
Now we're talking.
Under the lights. Cardiff's going to be an absolute mess, isn't it? It's just going to be a war zone. It's like World War Z afterwards with all the beer that's been flowing.
There'll be tears and fake tan flowing down the streets.
It'll be great. Great atmosphere. But Sale Sharks play Saracens on Saturday lunchtime.
Sale Sharks, Saracens for me.
Saracens for me as well.
I would have probably said Sale if they'd have continued as they have been at home, but I'm going to say
it's Saracens.
Saracens, it is Saracens. Northampton against Worcester.
Northampton to bounce back from their defeat to Newcastle.
Agreed.
At Northampton?
Yeah.
Yes. Now, Worcester, just one thing we didn't mention before, it was the debut of Francois Hugard.
Yeah.
Who scored a try, looked good. He can be a little bit inconsistent as a scrum half. But he's got pace.
BT Sports guys very wisely and very astutely said Hugard will have a similar impact as George Smith at Wasps. And I think that's a really good comparison.
Oh, no.
Why? A veteran coming in straight away, instantly improving the team. From that point of view, you can't disagree.
He's not a veteran like Smith, though, is he? He's nowhere near the experience. No.
And I would say the level of upgrade they've got in that position is enormous. Like, Johnny R's a really solid squad player, but for a starting player, like, having it in international class, that's huge.
Only question, because he wanted to play in the Olympics in the sevens, and I don't know how that scheduling is going to affect his Worcester appearances.
Oh, by the way, just very, very briefly, have you heard of what's happening with Quade Cooper?
Nope.
Quade Cooper might not be able to play for Australia in the sevens because he doesn't have an Australian passport.
What?
He's a New Zealand citizen still, and he's never actually become an Australian citizen, which he will have to do to play for Australia.
That is unbelievable.
Olympic rules say you have to be a citizen in the country you want to represent.
It stacks up.
Wow.
Gloucester, Newcastle.
Gloucester.
Interesting. Gloucester, new owners, renewed kind of energy.
Yeah.
Could be interesting one to watch. Could be their year next year.
Right, can I just ask a question, Tim? Because you might know this. Your brother plays second row at Irish.
Yeah.
Elliot Stook, what is the crack here? So
he's on his way to Bath.
But is he good or is he not? Because,
personally, he's a solid Premiership squad player. That's how I would describe it. I don't think he's going to be a starting berth for pretty much any team.
He's just passing through London Irish.
Maybe Newcastle. Or
no, he is very young. He's still only 22.
That's true.
And he is 6'7" and nearly 20 stone.
It's a big lump.
So he's got a lot of potential.
He's got a bit of that Ollie Cone kind of effect. He could play in partnership with someone. Just a lump. Ollie Cone wasn't athletic, didn't do a massive amount, was just a big
Welsh international Ollie Cone.
Big lump, but around but around that real quick Quinn's pack, he was really good. So maybe it'll be like that. But he's going to Irish between now and going to Bath permanently. On Sunday, Exeter Bath.
Exeter Chiefs
there.
Oh my word, what is going on at Bath, eh?
I feel really sorry for Mike Ford.
Yeah, you mentioned it.
Said it.
Henry Thomas, like, I love his new hair, by the way. He looks like a mean mother with hair.
Has he shaved it off?
Shaved it off.
Like someone that sends their kids to bed at 8.
And he came on and was more dynamic than any Bath player in carry. He was their top carrier, having only played like 25 minutes.
Yeah. Ooh. That was a comfortable win for Wasps.
Who do you think is signing these players for Bath? Because I've started to think now it's getting beyond a joke. They just seem to be buying up people for the sake of buying people and not thinking what their team needs.
Number eight as well. Yeah, they just keep buying number eights.
We'll just get one more number eight.
Just
one more.
Yeah.
There's a point I made to Jay today about the Ulster centres. Ulster have got 5 international centres. International calibre centres.
Yeah.
Which means that at any one time they've got three international centres not in their squad. So how can any team function without three international centres? It's like Bath, they're going to have three international number eights not in their squad.
It's madness what's going on there. I think their recruitment is all... It's gone off the rails. It's like some kid is buying footballers from a Champ Manager. No idea of like how they're going to put this squad together. They're just going to buy Ronaldo and Messi.
And then we have Leicester against London Irish. That doesn't get any easier for Irish, does
Leicester
it?
Leicester will... This will be their first win in three, won't it? First win in four.
Well, I think it was pretty telling when Ben Franks...
He wasn't very complimentary, was he?
Ben Franks, when he talked about... No, he wasn't complimentary. He was quite realistic. When he talked about the Leicester game, it was interesting that he said, right, well, we've put a good show in there against Exeter. It's important that we just keep feeling like we're moving in the right direction when we play Leicester. It wasn't saying, yeah, we're going to Leicester and we're going to try and win like we did last year.
I hate that sort of chat, you know.
He's a double World Cup winner. He deserves... anything he says has to be taken respectfully.
You've got to be realistic as well.
Yeah, I just don't like... Anyway.
Yeah.
Have we covered off the games? Was that...
Ben Franks, and then there's Wasps Quins, which is a beaut of a game.
Ooh, Wasps to smash them, but who knows? If we knew...
Wasps by at least 10.
Yeah.
Wasps by 20.
The pleasing thing for Quins was their scrum held up much
better. I thought their scrum was going to be destroyed.
Yeah, I thought Iurta was
atomised.
Was going to fold up Adam Jones and put him into a bin.
Yeah, and then pile all the other Quins players
on top of him
in the same bin.
Yeah. But it didn't happen. They packed down manfully. So I
do expect Wasps to win that one.
Yeah.
And just look ahead. Friday the 4th of March, Newcastle-Worcester. That is an interesting matchup to look forward to as we move forward to next week as well. We will have two podcasts next week.
Next week.
You will.
After that. So we can get into that one a lot. As for the Pro 12... we've got Connor Ospreys. It's quite an interesting matchup, this one. Saturday evening, this 7:35 kickoff.
Is it interesting? I mean, it's all relative, I guess.
Yeah, I think this is a really good matchup, this one.
Ospreys Connacht is interesting on an international weekend. Are you sure? You want to go with that?
I see what you're saying, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going Connacht
at home.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Are Treviso going to make it a hat-trick of wins on Sunday against Munster?
Not bothered.
I don't think they will. No. Munster away.
Edinburgh Scarlets.
Scarlets possibly again. We don't lose a huge number of players. And they were impressive
just
today.
Change up that awful Tequila Sunrise kit. Blues Ulster. Pride. Are Ulster going to be pride?
Very proud. Give me Ulster.
And Zebra Leinster.
This is why it's such a great league.
Zebra going up against the poachers, Leinster.
Yeah. The Judas Welcomers.
There's a Thursday night game, isn't there, in the Pro 12?
Oh, yeah, Dragons Glasgow. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Count me in. I'm going to leave the podcast on this note. I'm not going to say another thing after this. Can you come up with a worse kit matchup than Tequila Sunrise of Scarlets versus Camouflage of Edinburgh?
There's some bad ones in France, like La Rochelle versus Pau. That kind of matchup. But yeah, that is a bad
Exeter Chiefs European orange and black kit versus Leicester's gingham.
Yeah,
blanket white shirt from.
Quite disgusting. Yeah, quite disgusting.
Really horrible. We used to talk about a golden age of stash.
It's gone. It's dead.
There's some people trying to ruin it.
It's gone, though.
I thought you weren't going to say anything else, Jay.
Couldn't help himself.
Which just leaves us to conclude the podcast by saying that Dan Biggar is significantly worse than Johnny Sexton.
Yeah. Without any question, Dan Biggar, most overrated player in world rugby.
Yes.
And
him and Miles Benjamin.
And JB, your silence speaks volumes. You clearly agree.
very good, Tim.
At Rugby Podcast, find us on Twitter. Enjoy the rugby. Subscribe on iTunes and on Acast. Tell your mates. Leave a review on iTunes. Oh, we did. I'll just mention a review we got left by Simon, who said that as far as he is concerned, he enjoys the podcast, etc., etc. And says as far as he is concerned, he actively joins in with the pod when we say pod. He said you must Shout Out Pod, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, when you hear Hands In On Three at the start of every episode. Simon, leave your reviews and stuff. Listen on iTunes, Acast. We'll catch you next time at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Nice one, Phil.
Thank you, Tim.
Dan Biggers, Rob.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Rubbish, isn't he, JB?
Dumb Biggs are saints. Dumb Biggs are saints.
See you next time.